Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, June 25th, 2010. TNT is brought to you by Slingbox. Watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home with Slingbox. To find an in-store demo at a Best Buy near you, visit Slingbox.com. And also by Carbonite. Backing up the files on your PC or Mac is safe and easy with Carbonite. For a free trial plus 2 free months with purchase, go to Carbonite.com, offer code TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Sarah Lane.
Behind the board is our cromulent producer, Eric Lanigan.
Oh, I love that word.
It's one of my favorites,
non-word.
Too.
Yeah.
What up, Eric?
This is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day along with you, try to make some sense of it. Joining us via satellite, Skype, from France is Patrick Beja. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
You might know him from such podcasts as The Phileas Club, The Movielicious, the one that's name is in France.
France?
French. And I can't say it. You actually have a couple of those.
Yeah, the name is also in France.
Yes. French, it resides in France. What is that? You have a tech podcast in French, though. What's it called?
Yep. It's called Le Rendez-vous Tech. So I have a bunch of those. Tech, application show, lots of stuff.
And just you pretty much rip off any idea that's successful and do it in French.
Exactly. It's very easy.
Well, one of the things you don't get in France is Hulu, and not to rub it in, but apparently a Hulu subscription service could come as early as next week, according to All Things Digital. We're looking at a $9.95 a month access to the deeper catalog of shows than the free service currently offers, and access on other devices, including Apple's iPad, your PC or your Mac, and possibly Microsoft Xbox and Sony's PS3.
So you kind of are rubbing it in, actually.
I'm totally rubbing it in.
Patrick, yeah. not to rub it in, but just getting a lot cooler next week.
I don't know what's happening. It's like a curse. Every time I come on any show from the U.S., you talk about Hulu. It's terrible. I'm very angry right now.
I've never talked about Hulu on this show. So,
have you been on with Patrick?
Show with you?
No.
There you go.
See, there you go. So basically, every time you've been on the show with me, you've talked about Hulu.
That's true. I'm sorry, Patrick. Yeah. I'm rubbing it in. I'm thrilled about this. I'm interested.
It's awesome.
Are you a regular Hulu user, Tom?
Not a regular
Hulu user,
but I use it.
Yeah.
What happens is I usually watch online to catch up on things.
Right.
I usually use my DVR for recent stuff. And so when I'm catching up, a lot of times Hulu's useless because they only have the last 5 episodes and I'm more than 5 episodes behind.
Exactly. I like the idea of having a bigger catalog. I assume ad-free.
I'm guessing that the current stuff would be ad-free.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of talk about having more ads in the free version.
Right.
So I don't know if you just get limited ads. That would kind of suck.
I mean, when you pay for cable, you're not paying to not get commercials. You know, I mean, they could easily... $10 a month for some minimal ads is not out of the question.
And we've reported previously on the rumors that CBS and Viacom would be coming back to Hulu, so that would make it a little more attractive.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of licensing deals that have to be figured out for this to happen, because once you start getting that $10 a month, you have to figure out how it gets split up to everybody. For instance, Viacom's Comedy Central owns the rights to old episodes of 30 Rock. So if you want to have the entire back catalog of 30 Rock, you have to make a deal with NBC that NBC likes, and then you have to make a deal with Viacom that Viacom likes.
Mm. Or you could just drop a $10 bill in a meeting room and just see who wants it the most.
Just pull it out.
Wouldn't it be a lot easier than surveying all the Nielsen families, though? Just, you know, get what the people watched, and you split it up evenly, and, well, maybe not evenly, but, you know. You have the numbers.
One would think so, but the licensing deals and the previous practices of how they make money off of older shows is so complex that the idea of just throwing that out and replacing it with Hulu frightens the bejesus out of the television industry.
Absolutely.
But they can't just transpose the deals that they made for regular TV and say that's the way we're going to split the money on Hulu?
Well, no, because everybody's saying, well, look, I don't want to lose the revenue that I'm counting on from syndication, like Comedy Central, for instance. I've got 30 Rock running on Comedy Central. I've got advertisers sold into that, you know. I want to make money off of that, and I don't want people going to Hulu and watching the old episodes and not watching Comedy Central. So how do I figure out how to make this licensing deal lucrative enough that I'm willing to take that risk?
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, because you have
to. They're annoying.
If enough customers sign up for it, then everyone's happy.
Now, CNET reporting that the Sony and Hulu deal is almost done, that they would actually bring the Hulu to Sony's PS3, and also possibly the Roku box. That would be kind of cool.
Ooh.
Via that deal. So.
I actually have one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anyway, possible good news. We'll keep you up to date. Of course, just keep listening to Tech News Today. We'll tell you when and if the deal goes through. Big news in the smartphone operating system world. Nokia confirmed on Thursday that it plans to use their Linux-based MeeGo operating system instead of Symbian for all of their N-series smartphones.
So they're still going to be using Symbian for other series of phones made by Nokia, just not the N-series.
Yeah.
At first you go, wow, Symbian's just out of there. Well, not really. And it seems like from the article that I read, they're kind of spinning it off into emerging markets, some lower cost point phone models.
Exactly.
Somewhat unclear, but it's like Symbian's just changing its focus.
Right. They're going to start using the Symbians on a subset of Nokia phones.
Right.
And if you wonder, like, well, why do I care about that? Symbian, as of the end of Q1 2010, according to Gartner, had 44% market share worldwide. Number two, BlackBerry, 19%. So Symbian is the dominant operating system, but it hasn't kept up with all of the innovations that we've seen, not just on the iPhone, but on Android and WebOS and all of these others. So Nokia's been trying to figure out how they can get back in the game. They started the Symbian Foundation. They open sourced Symbian. That was one gamble. But then they also partnered up with Intel on a separate open source platform, and that's MeeGo. And it looks like that's the one, you know, in their sort of internal competition that they're placing their bets on.
Right. So basically, Symbian is going to get become their lower end phone system, and MeeGo is going to be their smartphone system, more or less. And what I don't really understand is that for the smartphone business, the system doesn't really matter all that much because they all do the same thing. What you need is the apps. So I'm really wondering why they're not going to Android or Windows Mobile or whatever and branching off in yet another system. Are they going to get apps easily for that? Are developers going to go for yet another interface? And, you know, it seems like a weird choice.
Yeah, it's Nokia. I mean, I guess if you could say if they went to Android, that'd be a third platform. So that would be even worse. At least they only have two to go with here. And they've placed their bets on MeeGo. I think, Patrick, you make a good point, though. In the end, if MeeGo doesn't make a go of it, do they end up having to switch back to something else like Android later on? But the other side of that is they have a huge market share. Nokia phones are, you know, in the United States, it's not so big a deal, but worldwide, they're monstrous.
Wait a second. They have a huge market share for overall, but most of, I don't have the numbers, but mm-hmm. most of the phones they sell, I suspect, are very cheap non-smartphones.
True enough.
For this one, we're talking about smartphones, which is, you know, a specific subset of their business.
Well, and it's because of that they want to place their bets on MeeGo and say, okay, we've got a good smartphone. And really what it'll come down to is Nokia makes great hardware, and the N series is always very attractive, but it's been the limitations on what you can do with it that I think have held it back. So if they can show that MeeGo is, you know, just as awesome as Android and iOS 4, then they could conceivably gain some of that back. That's a tall order.
The problem is they're going to make yet another system that doesn't yet have an installed base. Are developers going to be making the apps for MeeGo also, and for Android, and for Windows Mobile, and the iPhone? It's getting very crowded,
is
all I'm saying.
Getting saturated, that's for sure.
All right. Well, let's set that difference aside for now. We have an internet kill switch to deal with, but first let me tell you about Slingbox, because they're helping to bring you this episode of Tech News Today. Anywhere you go, on any laptop, portable device, iPhone, iPod Touch, via Wi-Fi, BlackBerry laptops, MacBooks, and now Android mobile phones, You can watch Slingbox. All you do is you buy a Slingbox, go to Best Buy, pick one up, take it home, plug it into the internet, plug it into your television, and you're able to watch TV on your mobile phone, your laptop. I was watching a little bit of Futurama on my iPhone earlier upstairs. Then I ran out of time to watch more of it. Hopefully I'll be able to catch up on it later today because I ran out of time to watch the second Futurama when I was home this morning. I didn't realize they were going to have two of them, but I can still watch it off my DVR right here. Pre-recorded shows from your DVR, basically any show you record, any show you get on TV, all your live shows, all your sports, news, movies, whatever you subscribe to, you get it through the Slingbox, no fees or anything. To find an in-store demo at a Best Buy near you, visit slingbox.com. So the United States Senate panel committee has approved the cybersecurity bill. It's far from a law yet. But this is the thing that would allow the president to turn off the internet, right?
The internet kill switch.
Yeah, it's a big red button they would install in the White House, as I understand it. And then he would just press that.
Sort of a cyber attack.
And the internet would go down.
And then there's no internet anymore. Right. And, of course, opponents of this proposed bill say, well, this is just terrible. We can't have the internet needs to be free. You can't have the president having power like that. This is just crazy talk.
Senator Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, says, well, I was disappointed to read reports that the bill gives the White House a kill switch because apparently she thinks that the president already has that authority under a little-known clause in the Communications Act passed a month after the December 1941 attack on Pearl Harbor.
1941.
Which must have read, should we ever create something called the internet, the president can shut it down.
A series of tubes.
Yeah. Which is defined as a series of tubes.
Any tubes-based apparatus should be killable by the president.
Okay. I mean, seriously, what this bill does is says that the president can come in and order a private company to shut down their networking operations in a national emergency.
Right.
And what Collins is saying is he already has that authority over infrastructure in general. So we don't need a law that specifies except to limit what he can do. And this new law does that. It puts in a limit.
Right. It's 120 days would be the maximum amount of time that the president could sort of be in control before it goes back to Congress and then they can decide collectively how to go. Now, you kind of go like, okay, well, there's an amendment. So there's a bit of, it's not just sort of red button gets pushed and everyone just sort of sits there and waits for him to change his mind. But then you think when you're talking about something like the internet, 120 days is a really long time.
Yeah, an internet time, that's like 5 years.
That's not one day or 2 days.
Now, how are you defining the internet? Because it sounded like for a minute you were saying on a company by company basis.
Right.
So let's say, I mean, here there's lots of scenarios, but let's say a very bad malicious piece of software is let loose that looks like it's going to target the power grid and it starts to take down parts of the power grid. The president could come in and say it's being distributed mostly from this part of the backbone. I'm ordering you, AT&T, to shut that down as a scorched earth method to try to prevent propagation so we can deal with it. That's one possible scenario.
So it's not literally the internet, like for the entire world, like with one push of a button.
He's not going to come touch.
Although that would just be awesome. Kind of.
That's when the alien virus gets in.
Yeah.
And it starts
to change
us.
The rest of the world is fine with this. It's just our Senate that has some issues.
Right.
With the worldwide kill switch.
It feels like I should be angry about this or, there is some liberty issue or something. But we do have problems with cybersecurity. And if this does help, at some point we do need to turn everything off because we're all freaking out and all the servers are coming down and some giant space virus is eating all our computers. Maybe we do need this. We might need a way to stop a big issue that's happening. And maybe that's the solution.
The question is the power placed appropriately? And will it be used appropriately? Could it be used for bad? And I almost feel like 120 days isn't enough of a limit.
No, really?
Yeah. I think, if like you say, with the internet, things happen fast.
I see what you're saying.
If you've got a malware, maybe you only need 10 days, 15 days.
I feel like in 5 days, a lot, you're going to miss a lot of stuff.
And then do we want
tweets in there,
politicians making that decision?
See, that's
it actually puts the Department of Homeland Security in charge of it. And there's now a cybersecurity czar, and that's the person who would decide.
Who else is going to make the decision?
theoretically, you have an expert in charge
of this. Patrick, a good point. I mean, who else would make the decisions within the government? Nobody. I mean, that's the way that it's set up now. But does it make people uncomfortable? Yes.
Yeah, and actually, Comp Mike has a really good point. He's like, you could say the same thing about nuclear arms. Do you really want politicians in charge of them? That's a very excellent point.
I think we should put Tom in charge of the kill switch.
Oh, please don't. No, Patrick, you don't want that.
Tom is a reckless person.
I am. I have whims.
You don't know what he's like in person.
You know what would be funny? Nukes.
He's hitting buttons all the time. No, Tom,
just by
stop
accident.
That.
I'm kind of clumsy.
Stop flicking the lights on and off. Yeah. Wrong switch. That Genesis video.
Well, we can't avoid it any longer. We committed to you to do three stories before this show without the iPhone 4 being mentioned, and we fulfilled on our promise. But we would be remiss if we didn't mention that the iPhone 4 sales were, as expected, pretty awesome yesterday, and 77% of them went to people who were previously iPhone owners. Were you previously an iPhone owner, Sarah?
Sure was, Tom. 3GS. And
you have a new one with a white bumper, less.
I made a big stink. In fact, Scott Johnson is going to be really mad at me because we were going to hold out together for the white iPhones. I have a white bumper, but this is technically a review unit. So
you didn't pay for that.
Well, it's a review unit.
Well, Tom, I just want to make that clear because a lot of people stood in line for a long time and shelled out money for their iPhones.
Tom, you're such a troll.
Yeah.
Screw you.
I just want to make that
clear. Screw you, Tom. You know what? I'm shutting the show down. I'm not kidding.
We're going to reruns.
I'm not kidding.
That was fun. How's my Leo?
And now, that's the code word for the twit kill switch.
So you got a review version of the iPhone 4.
Yeah.
And,
hold it up, Sarah, so we can see what the bumper looks like.
The bumper is surprisingly tougher than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's not a soft rubber like you'd expect a bumper would be.
It's not a soft rubbery thing.
Just like regular plastic, basically.
Yeah. It's okay. I got my white.
Yeah, I thought it would be a lot more insubstantial, but I have a nice pink one, thanks to MG Sinkler, to look at. I don't know if I'm going to put this on my iPhone.
Tom,
or not,
put it on your phone.
It's a lot more substantial. It's kind of a hard plastic.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you can think of it, you know, antennas stuff aside, at least it helps protect the cameras a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it gives you a little give on each side.
And it stops the antenna thing, which Steve Jobs says,
really know if it does.
If you're having a problem with that antenna thing, just don't hold it like that.
Right. Just don't hold it like that.
Or
so
buy a bumper.
Simple. Why didn't we think of it?
Because you don't want to hold the phone like this.
And then he
you
charges you a
$20
copay.
You know, with your teeth, or just don't hold it all and yell. Or maybe just, you know, a couple fingers in the middle, something like that. And apparently it's this. This is the issue because it's resting against your palm, right?
Right. And
in
there,
a way that
you can see
acts
there's
a wall.
There's a little black line there that separates these two parts. And
well,
when you hold it in a certain way, especially in your palm, your hand acts as a conductor that bridges that gap. Now you can actually see it on the video version. So when you're palm is there, it bridges that gap, and it's a conductivity that affects the antenna. There's a really good article online from antennasys.com that explains why the antenna is positioned down there. The FCC, as part of their radiation control, actually requires the antenna to be down at that end of the phone, apparently. And when they do the tests for radiation, they don't hold it in a hand, and so they don't see those effects that you would have. So it's just part of antenna design. And when Steve Jobs says all phones are, you know, likely to suffer from this issue, he's right, because the antennas do need to be put down at the bottom. But not all phones have the antenna on the outside and have that particular configuration.
Yeah. Well, and apparently it's worse if it's in your left hand because of the way that hands are created. And I say, what if you only have one hand?
Oh.
Then what are you going to do?
Well,
just can't talk to people?
Buy a bumper.
For $30.
So I know this is absolutely horrible and ludicrous and terrible, but do you guys have issues with like dropped calls or reduced quality or anything with the phone? I didn't.
That's it not a ludicrous or horrible question.
No, it's not.
That's actually something we talk about all day, every day, pretty much. I have not made one call on this phone yet.
I've only made FaceTime calls.
Right.
Actually. So they start off as regular calls in some cases. Although I FaceTime called Patrick earlier today. He called me. And it came in as, you know, a French phone number, but it was just over Wi-Fi. It never went over the voice network.
Hey, can I talk about FaceTime for just a second?
Yes.
You may.
It I think we all missed the fact that FaceTime is Apple's foray into VoIP and pushing aside the cell phone providers. It basically, if you take out the fact that it's video, which no one is going to care about in like, you know, 5 minutes when the novelty wears off, it's VoIP, super simple voice calls over Wi-Fi that, you know, you don't even need to connect to a service, register your friends, anything. You just call someone and it works. It's a huge, huge thing, in my opinion. And
it sort of works. It's a little.
It does work.
It's a little choppy. I've had a couple of FaceTime calls, and they both have frozen at some point. Like, the hilarious thing is, when we were talking earlier with Patrick, he says, "Hey, this works pretty good." And then he froze right then, and the call dropped.
Take away the video, though. You only call via audio, which you can do if you press the home button, and it takes away the video, and you just have a voice call. I'm sure it won't, you know, get stuck at that point, maybe.
Yeah, and it's not using your minutes, too.
Yeah, so unlimited data plans. Thank goodness we've all got those.
What's over Wi-Fi?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Oh, yeah, that's true.
Well, you can't do it over 3G.
Everyone is going to start calling each other through that VoIP service. Well, not everyone, but people who have iPhone 4s. And if they do make it open source and other people start implementing it, it could become big enough that, you know, the cell phone providers are going to get a little bit angry. I don't know. I think it's a big thing. You don't seem impressed.
I don't think the cell phone providers are going to get angry because it's fewer people complaining about dropped calls if they're making calls over Wi-Fi. And most of those calls have to be initiated over the network.
No.
They don't have to be, but you know that's the way it works for a lot of people is they'll initiate it over network.
Let's
and then,
FaceTime.
Then they'll go to the FaceTime. Mm-hmm. And it means less strain on their network and they're still getting your monthly fee for the voice calls because you can't not get the voice plan on the iPhone.
Yeah, so yeah, I guess what it's going to do is that it's going to accelerate the transition from, you know, cell phone provider to data provider. They're not going anywhere, obviously.
But yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
The problem with the front-facing camera is you've really got to hold it just so, or you're very unflattering to whoever you're talking to.
It's a very Mr. Burns look. You're kind of looming.
I mean, this is my worst angle, for sure. You know, the chin, not good. I wonder when the novelty of us, so we need to talk to each other, right? Like,
right.
Let's FaceTime. Like, what's it going to be if for some reason you've got to use it, but it's understood that neither party wants to see each other?
Well, this
you just put the phone.
Yeah. This isn't new. People have been doing Skype video calls for years.
Right.
And there have been plenty of other phones that have had video calling. And none of it has really caught on for blazes because you don't always need to see the other person.
Right. But I mean, with Skype, you can turn off video easily, too. That's just a toggle.
Yeah, well, it's just a home button thing with the FaceTime, right?
Yeah. But let's say you couldn't use a regular, you couldn't make a regular phone call. You had to use FaceTime.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could turn off the video.
Oh.
So,
problem
solved.
Probably hang out with a reviewian a little bit longer.
How's that reviewian to treat you, Lane?
Really good. We don't talk much.
Let's go to, you know what? I don't take any, I never get voice calls. I think I got one voice call yesterday. That was it.
When I get voice calls, I just ignore them.
Yeah, I let him go to voicemail.
If I was 310 number, someone in LA, I'm not going to.
Most of the time, you can just get what you need across in text.
My voicemail actually says, if at all possible, hang up and send me a text.
There you go.
If you have to leave me a voicemail, I'll try to get back to you.
Nick O'Neill over at allfacebook.com declared that a war is on when they noticed that Facebook now includes liked web pages in their search results. So if you go to Facebook and you search, what did he search for? Annapolis Marriott. You get in your search results a liked page to the Annapolis Marriott waterfront from TripAdvisor.com. And so his theory is that this is the opening salvo in Facebook going after Google as a search engine provider.
But this is only things that people like. So it's a completely different set of everything.
And theoretically, that would make it more relevant because you don't just have any old link farm out there. You only have pages that people like.
That's true. Sure. But like I like farms. A lot of things, and I've only liked a handful of pages.
I think Eric just coined a phrase here, the like farm, because, all the spammers and link farm people need to do is go create some Facebook accounts and start liking all their pages.
Yeah. It's a like farm.
Most of the reaction to this has been, I don't think this is anywhere close to Facebook assaulting Google.
It's not yet. but it does mean something. It, you know, there is a deep-seated feeling that search, you know, automatic search is not really cutting it anymore. We do need some kind of curation, some kind of selection process. And I do believe that Facebook is, you know, Facebook, Twitter, obviously, they are the best equipped to create that sort of mix between automation and curation by their users. And this is clearly the first step in what could become a bigger, I'm trying to use war metaphors here, but I'm coming short. But I think it's war. It's the beginning of the war.
They may take our lives.
Have you used the Facebook search engine?
No.
Never.
No. I tried it a couple times. It is nowhere near freaking ask.com in its usefulness. There's a long
way to go. Somewhat ridiculous even compared to my arguments.
There's a long way to go before Facebook can even call itself a general use search engine. At most, this is an interesting development.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine.
You know, in a year, let's talk about likes.
Yeah.
See what's going on.
This episode is also brought to you by Carbonite. Also, they are the leader in online backup. If you have an unexpected computer disaster, these things happen. They happen a lot. Some of the most common problems are hard drive failures. People thought they were, you know, I had it all backed up, but then my backup failed.
Nightmares are made of these things.
Yeah, I had a hard drive go bad on me a while back, and I was able to recover the data off of it before it went bad, but I wasn't panicked. Because I actually had my data all backed up online. And that's what Carbonite does for you. It's safe. Your files are encrypted before they leave your computer. It's easy to use. It's automatic. And because your files are backed off-site, you can actually access them from your phone. If you just want to check out a file, you go to your iPhone or your BlackBerry. They have free apps. Unlimited backup for your PC or Mac is only $55 a year. That's 15 cents a day. So try it for free at Carbonite.com. Enter the offer code TNT. And if you decide to buy the service after your trial, you'll get 2 months free with that offer code TNT. Be sure to sign up for the free trial from the homepage to get the 2 months free. No credit card required. Just a free trial. Carbonite.com. Offer code TNT.
TNT.
Google remotely nuked two apps from the Android phones, and from what we can tell, this is the first time this has happened, where they reached out. We knew they could do it, but they reached out from their network.
Remote nuke.
Killed applications that were on people's Android phones.
Now, what were these applications, and what the heck were they doing that was so bad?
These were applications created by a security researcher that didn't work. They intentionally misrepresented their purpose, which violated the terms of service in the Android marketplace. In order to encourage user downloads, they were not designed to be used maliciously. They were just testing the system, in essence.
So kind of, this sounds more like just a cleanup effort.
Yes.
Google's part, rather than anyone was in trouble. And apparently a lot of folks that had downloaded this, because the apps themselves weren't really what they said they were going to be, had uninstalled them.
Well, the researcher had actually voluntarily removed the apps from the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Google decided, you know what? This is just going to cause more trouble than it's worth if
people
get
gonna ask questions,
like, why is this broken?
And they're the sources.
Yeah, so they said, let's just kill them. The guy who made the apps isn't going to be upset. Why would anybody be upset? But it's disconcerting, right? Because
it's disconcerting anything.
They use their power.
Right. I mean, if I were to fire up this guy and an app was missing and I knew for sure that it was not my own doing, I'd be freaked out.
How do you feel about this, Patrick? I mean, in this case, it's all done in a very good purpose and doesn't hurt anyone.
Right. Well, okay. So I'm French, so I'm a socialist. So I do feel like, you know, I'm not as afraid as some sort of overarching entity that controls what happens in the world. I'm wondering, though, do we get notice from on the phone that the app has been removed because it was malicious? Or I would still want to know that something happened.
Yeah, what's the reason that that app disappeared?
You know, behind my... mm-hmm.
That's a good question. I actually don't know what the messaging is.
Yeah. I also wonder what's going to happen the day that Apple does something like that. It's going to be a fun day.
I'm going to freak out.
Yeah, Apple has not done that yet, but they also have the capability.
Right.
On your iPhone.
Yeah, that's my point. I think if Apple does that, people are going to be rioting in the streets.
Well, and the problem is that, I mean, we're talking about it on this show, but what are the chances that nobody read the article that we read before we started the show? You know what I mean? It's like the messaging is the most important part, and that's just how are you going to get that to everybody?
I think more disconcerting than Google, in this case, for good, deleting applications remotely is Horseboy.
Oh, Horseboy.
Horseboy.
Hold on to your hats, people, because Horseboy's
This is disconcerting disconcerting imagery found from Google Street View of a man, I believe, in the United Kingdom, who appears to have the head of a horse and the body of a man.
Half horse, half man.
He's the opposite of a centaur.
Google Street View captured it. Google Street View captures everything, including passwords on unencrypted networks.
That's right.
Okay? And Horse Boy is real.
He's a ruat neck.
Here's the thing about Horse Boy is that you read... Horse Boy is a big deal on the internet. He's kind of a, you know, he's found his 15 minutes today or whatever the internet term is for 15 minutes. And people are kind of going like, well, now this is, you know, look at this. Is it like a man and a horse? Well, hold on a second. Man horses don't exist. That must be a horse mask of some kind, not a real horse man.
Are you?
I mean, why are we talking about?
Apparently, the Horse Boy is a well known figure on the streets of Aberdeen, Scotland.
Yes,
and is in fact has a real horse head.
And maybe might be drunk.
I was a little bit worried. You know, it did smell of alien invasion at one point, but then I read the story, and yes, he is well known, and he's apparently quite friendly.
So, internet, don't worry. Horse Boy fused human equestrians not yet in the wild.
Just
this
don't
is just
spook him.
A happy Scottish man hoax.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
The key word being yet. I mean, Google Street View is still on the lookout for, you know, different horse or other animals.
Exactly.
Mixed with people.
Right. They may exist. This just isn't it.
This is just a result of a dram of the Oban, one would assume. How, on the other side of things, though, is the prosthetic flipper that, according to Fast Company, turns amputees into mermen.
Yeah, you got to see the picture of this. Do we have one? I mean, it's
Swedish designer Richard Stark's Neptune concept is a prosthetic limb that is a flipper.
And it's great because this sort started out as a school project and sort of gradually turned into something where people go, well, wait a second, this is a great idea. So let's say, yes, you have an amputated leg, for example, and you want to go swimming. Well, it's very hard to swim with one leg and not two legs doing the work because you're kind of spinning in circles. I mean, there's that whole issue. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have two good working legs, give yourself a fin. Fins are great. Who doesn't love swimming with fins? In fact, your
this
fin
is
probably going to be cooler than your actual working leg.
Now, they said that even in like Special Olympics, this would not be allowed in competitive swimming. But they point out that it would be very, because it works the muscles more than not having anything on at all, which right. You normally would have.
Yeah.
It actually could be used for training.
Now, why wouldn't it be allowed in competitive, let's say Special Olympics, for example, if everyone got to wear it? Because there's different degrees.
It would have to be a separate event, I guess.
I guess
the
so.
One flipper event, the two flipper event. But you can't say like
the mer butterfly.
The merman butterfly.
Wasn't there an issue of a guy who had a prosthetic leg who couldn't compete in the Special Olympics because he was actually running faster than people without prosthetic legs or something?
He was so good that they decided
to crush his dreams
until he'd never win anything.
Really fantastic.
Yeah, this is really cool, actually. I mean, it sounds funny.
It also sounds
in a way, but
you know, it's kind of like we're watching some video now. It's like, well, that's obvious, right? I mean, we all have put on fins as kids, and we're
right.
Like, wow, you can swim a lot faster. You know, when you snorkeling or whatever. But nobody's really done it before.
Yeah.
I'd be thrilled.
Very cool thing.
Yeah. I'd like a flipper all the time.
Also cool, as we turn to our calendar, the Mario Marathon begins today. I've been following these guys for 3 years now. This is the third time that they have done it, and it began this morning at 11 a.m. These guys will play Mario all weekend long in order to raise funds for Child's Play, a charity that provides toys, games, and books to patients of children's hospitals worldwide. And so they'll be broadcasting live online, going through all 800 levels of 9 Mario games chosen for the marathon. And your donations determine how many of those levels the teams will complete. So, you know, when you get to a certain donation level, they will then commit to playing the next 20 levels of Mario.
So everyone has an incentive. So these guys, obviously, this is their third annual event. they know their Mario games.
Yes.
They know how to play all 800 levels or whatever. Now, how long has that taken them in the past?
And are they going to beat that time? In the past, they've gone all the way through the weekend and actually kept playing even afterwards.
Right.
Just
at that point, they're having a good time.
Because they've lost their minds. So they need to raise $156,611.19 to get to Super Mario Sunshine, which would be the 741st through 809th levels. So, you know, if you got a little cash, check them out. They're right now, as of this recording, $12,645 in. Woo-hoo. And they only need $68 to get to the next set of levels.
Oh, they're in it.
Definitely going to make it.
Hello, Sunshine.
Also on the calendar today, Motorola's Droid X up for pre-order at Best Buy, $200. And you don't need to send in a rebate. You just go to a Best Buy and sign up. Get it for $199.99.
Good, because I don't have any stamps.
That's right. You have a car, but
mail-in
no stamps.
Rebates. They're the bane of my existence.
On to our voicemail. We got one from Clayton, who has a conspiracy theory to share with us.
Hey, this is Clayton from Kansas City. You've been talking about this EA sale for the last two episodes. I thought I'd point out this little evil genius involved here. They know that on Friday, that Apple's about to sell a million iPhones, so they drop their price, get their app at the top of the list, and then boom, drop it back up to full price, and you have a million iPhones sitting around this weekend looking for something to buy, and what are you going to do? Buy the game at the top of the list. Just thought I'd point that out. Thanks, bye.
Now, the promotion was allegedly associated with Father's Day.
Which was last Sunday.
With this so-called Father's Day. But I think Clayton makes a good
point.
It's
not about
here.
Father's Day at all.
It's about greed and money grubbing.
They said 99. What do you think they're really doing?
I don't think it has anything to do with a web page going unupdated.
Right. No.
It's you know what? I mean, he makes a
fair... There are no oversights.
He makes a fair point that a bunch of people now have iPhones and are playing through the App Store, so...
Very true. You included.
My sister is text messaging me here.
Hi, Tom's sister.
She needs to know how to reset her old iPhone. I'll get to you in a second.
Yeah, there are... What was it? What was the number? 23% of people, which is quite a big number, by the way, people who got the new iPhone are people who didn't have an iPhone before. So they're going to go and buy EA games.
Yeah, it's quite possible because they'll be cheaper and they'll see that and... You know, and I don't think there's a big bait and switch going on here, just to be clear.
I think we're trying to look into that story and make it into something more. Okay, they did that.
On to the emails to tnt@twit.tv. Rick, says, I was watching episode 18 where you guys were talking about a couple of U.S. congressmen questioning Apple about collecting location information from iOS devices. You guys said that while it was possible to adjust location collection from individual apps, it was not possible to stop Apple from collecting location information on its devices. And the reason you suggested was targeted iAds. I didn't say it wasn't possible. I said there was no obvious way to do this. Mm-hmm. However... Rick says there is a way to opt out of targeted iAds. Go to oo.apple.com from your iOS device, and you are immediately opted out.
So OO is an opt out.
Yes.
.apple.com. How does he know this?
It's like
some sort of an Apple Easter egg.
I don't know how he found this out, but Patrick.
/Rick, what's going on?
In the pre-show pointed out that can you opt back in?
Once you've opted out?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need oi.apple.com.
So you still receive the same quantity of ads. They're just not targeted. You're not sending them
that is
your
correct.
Own information.
It doesn't block. It's not like an ad blocker. Right. All it says is we're not going to collect your GPS, any of your personal information. We're not going to target the ads. And you should know if you go to oo.apple.com, that's all that opts you out. It's not like you get there and you get a confirmation screen to opt out, which kind of surprised me when I tried it out. It said, you put in oo.apple.com and it says, okay, you're opted out now. I'm like, oh, well, scary. I guess I don't want to be opted in.
Did you want to be opted out?
I haven't
really care one way or another.
I haven't heard about this at all. It seems like Rick has some sort of insider information and Apple is going to, you know, Steve Jobs.
We ever seen Rick and Steve Jobs in the same room together? No, we haven't.
Now, apparently Leo has mentioned it before.
Oh.
It's not entirely unknown.
Yeah,
it was unknown to me.
There was an Apple knowledge base article published about it, and you can see here if you just go on a non-iOS 4 device to oo.apple.com, you'll get this webpage saying unsuccessful opt-out.
Mm-hmm. So you got to be on the device.
Opt out?
Sorry?
Do you guys want to opt out? I don't want to.
I don't.
I'd rather have ads that are relevant to me.
I'm going
to
leave it.
I already did. I was
And you yes. can't.
No going back.
You can't opt back in, at least not yet.
All right, on to our next email.
On to our next email. This is from Sasha in Orange, California. Steve's response to claims of iPhone 4 reception issues, Steve Jobs, of course, when holding it on the left side, quote, non-issue, just avoid holding it that way. If he was the CEO of BP, he would just tell people in Louisiana that the oil spill is a, quote, non-issue, just avoid going to those beaches. Yes, I made up that joke all by myself. I surprised myself.
You surprised us too, Sasha.
What surprises me is that that was a version of a joke. You need to work on
it. It's a little heavy-handed, but you know.
It's also, I feel as though these are not really comparable.
No, these two situations aren't comparable at all, but there is a little flippancy to this, like, don't hold it like that, that I think
I'll hold my phone any way I want, dude. Yeah.
Why should I have to adjust how I hold the phone?
Right. I mean, it is kind of funny because, yeah, it's not the biggest issue in the world. I mean, it's something that people are holding on to. Phone holding thing. But it's in the history of the world, besides whatever's comfortable and makes the most sense, has there ever been messaging about how you should be holding your phone?
Other than don't touch the antenna in the old phones that had the right. retractable ones.
Right. And no. Who was doing
that? It's really like he made such a big deal about this antenna and the genius of the design and, you know, and then he's like, oh, yeah, don't touch it. And we placed it just where your hand would be. It is a little bit obnoxious to say, but, well, don't just touch it.
Don't hold it that way, the way that you want to.
The proper way to hold an iPhone is lightly with the pinky out like this.
Tom, never call me doing that. Don't FaceTime
me. Sarah's offended.
That was just weird. You mad?
But wait, Sarah, it doesn't annoy you? It doesn't annoy you that Steve Jobs would say, well, just, you know, easy fix. Don't hold it like that.
What I'm saying is I feel as though people are getting up in arms about this because that's something to get up in arms about.
Well, for that many people to have noticed it on launch day, I think, shows that it's happening by accident.
I think it is somewhat ridiculous. I'm left-handed. I don't know if I talk this way or I've never really thought about it. I don't know that it matters that much, but for something that feels pretty good in my hand to be the wrong way to hold the phone. I got a bumper.
Yeah, what do you
So it's all good. Well, you know, I'm thinking for the people, Tom. It's not all about me. Okay.
All right.
We're not living in this insular world all the time.
I was just saying, it's, you know, hard for you to identify with the little man with that bumper around your phone.
Review unit.
With your review unit.
This is my job. Okay.
Patrick Beja, thank you so much for joining us today on Tech News Today. Tell the fine folks out there where they can find you elsewhere on the internet should it not be kill switched by the president.
Let's hope that doesn't happen. So you can find all my shows and others at nowatch.fm, which is sort of a network of shows we're trying to put together here in France, if you speak French, that is. And if you don't, you can go to patrickbeja.com, where you will find a handy link to an auction for a charity that I am doing for my friend Sean Coons, whom you know. I'm donating a custom ringtone for his charity, what's the name of that charity he's doing? MAD. Crap. I don't know what it is, but it's cool. It's a charity. Go donate.
You really should know what the charity is if you want people to trust you.
It's okay. He's got that French accent. It's fun.
Muscular dystrophy.
It's muscular dystrophy. Yeah.
Good to know. All right. Thanks, Patrick. Always a pleasure. Thanks for jumping in. We'll definitely have you back one of these days. Folks, thanks for watching Tech News Today. And if you would like to be on the show in a way, you can send us a voicemail to 260-TNT-SHOW or an email, tnt@twit.tv. Or just check out the show itself at twit.tv/TNT. We'll see you tomorrow. Well, actually, Monday.
Happy weekend.